Well, this is the 10th Sunday we're unable to physically meet together at our normal venue of Gosford Hills School. And I wonder whether you think that time is going fast or whether it's dragging. I wonder if you think because of lockdown, is Jesus' church just on hold, just biding the time, waiting until we can get back to normal? Jesus promised, "I will build my church." And that's what he's been doing ever since he rose from the dead. And this book of Acts that we've been looking at on and off so far this year could be called What Jesus Did Next. Even in lockdown, Jesus is still building his church. And today's passage paints us a picture of what a healthy church looks like. We're going to be looking at the church in Antioch. Antioch was an important city in Roman-controlled Syria. Nowadays, we'd say it was in southeast Turkey, close to the border with Syria. Perhaps you've been tuning in these last few weeks, or perhaps today's your first time and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian. And perhaps you've got preconceived ideas of what church is about. Perhaps you've gained those ideas from watching things on television like Vicar of Dibley or Rev or Fleabag. Or perhaps you've had some previous experience in your past of going to a church that's like an institution with its rituals and traditions. Well, I wanted to ask you to be open to be surprised this afternoon. As we look at this passage, we will see what God's purposes for his church are and what lies at the essence of being church. And if you're a Grace Church regular, then my prayer is that this passage will encourage us to spur us on as a church to grow in health for God's glory. Now, earlier this year, as a relatively new church, we introduced a simple church vision to help us stay on track. I don't know if you remember it. Up, in, and out. Up, our relationship with God, growing in understanding and enjoying God's grace to us in Jesus. In, to do with our relationship with each other within Grace Church, where we said we want to be sharing life together as a community shaped by God's grace to us in Jesus. And out, that's our mission to our village and the world beyond, proclaiming to Kidlington and beyond the good news of God's grace to us in Jesus. And all of this enabled by God's Spirit and for his glory, not ours. Now, as we look this afternoon at the church in first century Antioch, I want you to see if you can spot up, in, and out. And ask this question: how can we live this out in our current lockdown, and then in whatever the new normal may look like in the coming months and years? What's the first thing we notice in this passage? Well, we notice out proclaiming God's grace in Jesus. We see this in verses 19 to 24. The early Christians experienced a crisis, not a pandemic, but a severe persecution. Let's read verse 19 onwards again. Now, those who'd been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So, as the Christians were scattered because of persecution against them, the result was that the good news about Jesus didn't die out, it actually increased, it spread into new places. They didn't keep quiet, even in the midst of their crisis. Both Jewish people and increasingly Gentile, non-Jewish people heard this news of Jesus. And you see, the ultimate way God blesses the world is by people hearing and responding to the message of Jesus, that he is the saviour that they need. And verses 21 and 24 tell us that a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now, if you're tuning in and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, you might be asking, well, what is this good news of Jesus? Sometimes in the Bible it's called gospel, literally means good news. In my experience, many people in our country have dismissed Jesus as not relevant to their lives because they presume they know what his message is all about. Perhaps that's you. for example, people think, oh, well, it's just about being a good person. And if you're good enough, you'll get to go to heaven when you die. And I'm a pretty decent person, so I'll be okay. But that's not the message of Jesus at all. As we saw earlier in our service, we're actually enemies of an all-powerful creator God when we live without reference to him, when we live presuming that we are the God of our own life. The Bible says this is serious, as we all have to give an account to him. To reject him or just ignore him actually is to cut ourselves off from the source of everything that is good, and that's what we'll experience eternally. But the great news is that God became one of us in Jesus. He came to seek and save us, and he did that by succeeding where we fail. He lived the perfect God-honoring life. And in the greatest depth of love imaginable, he took the punishment that we deserve for how we treat God, how we treat one another, how we treat his creation. And he did that by dying on a cross as a criminal. And to prove it, he was raised to life, the first of all who will experience eternal life by trusting in him as God's rescuer. One day he's promised to return, but this time in judgment, clearing the way for his perfect new world where all those who love him will live with him in a world without pandemics, without death or suffering or injustice, without anything wrong. This is the good news of Jesus. And throughout the Bible, in fact, when Jesus himself was speaking, he always looked for a response. He asked people to turn from their current way of life, turn from living with yourself or other things as God, and turn instead to him, to Jesus, putting your life trust in him. And he promises if you do so, you'll be forgiven your rebellion, and actually you'll enter into the most important relationship you were created to know, relationship with God, knowing his love and his favour. I wonder, as you're listening today, have you responded to this message? Perhaps you've heard it many times. Today's the day to make that turnaround. Even as I speak, he's calling to your heart right now. Trust me. Put your faith in me. You can do that just by talking to him. Cry out to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to enter into your life and make you one of his. But maybe this is new to you and you've got loads of questions. You never really thought about it before and you need time to do that. I'd love you to be in touch via our website. A bit later, I'll give you my email address as well. We'd love to be able to help you explore this good news of Jesus further. In fact, why not use this corona crisis to investigate the most important message ever before the lockdown eases and you get stuck back into your old life and all its busyness? You see, Jesus is building his church in the midst of this crisis, just as he was in the first century Middle East, as people spread the good news of Jesus. In verses 22 to 24, the news of this growth reached the church leaders in the original church back in Jerusalem. And so they decide to send Barnabas to see what God's grace, what his undeserved favour has done in Antioch. And through Barnabas, even more people come to trust in Jesus. Barnabas was simply a Christian who loved Jesus and was wanting to live for Jesus. He was full of God's empowering spirit. Now, Grace Church members, we're just people who trust Jesus as Saviour. And we have the same spirit of the living God living in us. So what simple ways can we be speaking of God in this time of crisis, when actually research in our country is showing that more people than ever before are actually open to hearing and engaging with it? You can use social media to share links or videos. If you don't know what examples you can do, then get in touch with me and I can point you towards some. How can you be speaking of your trust in God helping you in this time of crisis, in those casual conversations you have with your neighbours or others that you're keeping in touch with? Why not invite people to listen to Grace Church online? In 2 weeks' time, we're going to be tackling the question, what does Christianity have to say in this time of global crisis? Send people links to it. Again, use the social media invites. a number in our church family have put out book boxes at the end of their drives, particularly if they live on a busier road, with a sign saying free to take, simple books and leaflets that share the good news of Jesus. You see, in a time of crisis, the temptation is to retreat into ourselves, a bit like a tortoise. Have you ever seen a tortoise when it's feeling threatened? It withdraws its head and its limbs into its shell until it thinks it's okay to come out again. But not so God's church. A healthy church is active in sharing the good news of God's grace to us in Jesus with others. That's our up dimension. But secondly, we see our in dimension, our living as a community shaped by God's grace to us in Jesus. And we see this in verses 22 to 24. Let's read verse 23. When Barnabas arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now, what had God's grace done? What was it that Barnabas saw that God had done? Well, God's grace had turned both Jews and Gentiles from being God's enemies into those who now love him. And God's grace had knitted those two racial groups together into one church community, into one family. You see, church is the inevitable result of people coming to faith in Jesus. It's God's plan that in each locality, those who have come to trust in him are formed together into a family of his people. Now, in their culture, Jews and Gentiles didn't mix. A good Jew would never enter the same house as a Gentile, let alone share a meal or consider them to be brothers and sisters. But here they are now living as brothers and sisters in God's new community, his church. You see, only the good news of Jesus can break down the divisions between people. Now, this is important to us as Grace Church. You see, if you're on the outside looking in, perhaps you've been tuning in these last few weeks, I want you to know that we're not a meeting you attend, but actually a community you belong to. And here's a question to Grace Church regulars. In lockdown, are you just calling those who are like you in the church family, or are you taking initiative in connecting with those you don't know so well, those that maybe aren't like you in terms of social background and education or experience? If you're in a family, why not invite someone on their own to share a virtual meal with you? Why not meet up for a socially distant chat with someone you know less well at church and get to know them more during this lockdown period? We can do that now. We can sit at opposite ends of a park bench for as long as we want. Can we be like Barnabas? What did he do? Well, verse 23 tells us he offered spiritual encouragement to the believers there in Antioch. Can we be doing that even in lockdown? What did he do in verse 23? He encouraged them to remain true to the Lord. Can we be doing that as we get alongside one another, even in lockdown? I want you to think now, who can you speak to this week? Perhaps someone you haven't spoken to within Grace Church one-to-one since lockdown. Can you find time to do that in this coming week? You see, a healthy church lives as a community shaped by God's grace to us in Jesus. That's our in dimension. Well, we've had out and in, but thirdly, we also see up in these verses, up, growing in understanding and enjoying God's grace to us in Jesus. And we see that in verses 25 to 26. You see, God's intention for church is not for church to be a collection of converts, but a community of disciples. A disciple simply means learner, those who are going on learning of Jesus. Let's read verse 25 to 26 again. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Barnabas takes the initiative and goes and gets Saul, who until quite recently had been the arch persecutor of Christians, but had met the risen Jesus and been transformed and become a disciple himself by God's grace. Barnabas goes and gets him, and together they return to Antioch and they spend a whole year teaching the church. I don't know whether they gave it a title, you know, the BNS School of Discipleship, but it was a great time to build up the believers in their knowledge and their enjoyment of God's grace to them in Jesus. And the teaching that Barnabas and Saul brought to them from the scriptures had a big impact on them. How do we know that? Well, look at the end of verse 26. Disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. People in Antioch saw how these believers, these disciples of Jesus, now lived differently, how they had a different life purpose, how they had a different love for those in need, how they had a different ethic in terms of sexuality or work or money. They saw the different quality of commitment to each other within the church, not least Jews and Gentiles in that close relationship as brothers and sisters. And people said they were of Christ. They were observable. They were different. They belonged to Jesus and reflected him in their lives. And so they began to be called Christians. The people around them saw changes in their lifestyle and character. They saw God's grace at work. Now, here's a question to consider. Wonder how you'd answer this question. Others know I'm a Christian because... Maybe get a friend to answer that. That'd be interesting to see what they say. You see, God can use this lockdown time for us to grow us in our knowledge and also our enjoyment of his grace to us in Jesus. This isn't a lost time, a waiting time, but it's a time when actually we can grow in faith and love. So here's a task if you're a Grace Church regular. Can you take 5 minutes later today or tomorrow to email me an area that you'd really appreciate teaching in? Maybe it's how the Bible holds together as one story of God's rescue plan, or maybe you recognize you need to be taught how to pray or read God's word or give to his work, or maybe it's how God's word addresses the many issues that we face in contemporary society, or maybe it's what we believe as Christians, what we call doctrine. Can you email me what you think you need at this time, where you feel that your knowledge is lacking? And then what we can do is we can use your responses to shape our teaching and how we do that both in lockdown and afterwards. See, all these areas can help us grow in both our understanding and our enjoyment of God's grace to us in Jesus, which then makes us grow in health as a church. Out and in and up. But we see one more sign of a healthy church in this passage. And I'm going to call this last one with, standing with and helping the worldwide church. And we see that in verse 27 to 30. In verses 27 and 28, a Christian prophet from Jerusalem visits Antioch and speaks to the church and predicts that there's going to be a severe famine coming. So what do these Antioch believers do? Do the Gentile believers say, well, they're all Jewish in that church back in Jerusalem. They're not like us. Let them look after their own. Or do the Jewish believers say, well, Jerusalem's a long way away. We've got enough needs to be met here. We should shore up our own church finances first. No. Look at verse 29 to 30. Disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. You see, they stood with the church in Judea. See how they call them brothers and sisters, even though they'd never met them. That's God's church. That wonderful reality that we're connected to the worldwide church of true believers. Of course, not every institution that calls itself church is church in God's eyes. God's church is made up of all who hold to the good news of Jesus, those who've turned from a lifestyle that displeases God and turned to Jesus for rescue, those remaining true to Jesus in lifestyle and belief. So at this time of lockdown and beyond, how can Grace Church Kidlington stand with the worldwide church and help them? Saul changed his name to Paul. And he wrote a number of letters to different churches that we have those in our New Testament in the Bible. And he says in one of them that we help by our praying. Are we praying for the church in a different place to us? But we can also help by giving too. Our link to the church in Kosovo needs both our praying and our giving, as does the persecuted church in different countries, as does the materially poor churches of the majority world. It's easy to be insular in lockdown. Just look at our newspapers. How many of them are actually reporting stories from the rest of the world beyond the pandemic at this time? It's easy to be that tortoise, hunkering down until the crisis passes. But a healthy church, gripped by God's grace in Jesus, stands with the worldwide church by helping, by praying, by giving, and even by going, as we saw Antioch and Barnabas doing here. I wonder how are we doing this? How are you doing this? Out, in, up, with. God's plan for his church. And that's still the same now in lockdown. And above else, what is our desire as our church? What is our prayer? Look at that lovely phrase in verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them. Lord, would your hand be with us, that even in these strange days, you will be getting the glory for building your church. Amen. We're going to sing our last song together now before we finish our time together. And this is a song that talks of us being God's people, his church, founded at the foot of the cross, as we see Jesus dying for us to make us one, to make us his people. We're going to sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus.